book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, the verses 11 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5, the verses 11 to 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's the reading of God's infallible and inerrant word. In many commentaries and in many circles today, the passage that we have just read is commonly interpreted this particular way. They think, or they will say, that the people reading the book of Hebrews were people who did not advance in their understanding of the Scriptures and in their studying of the Word of God. In other words, these people are still on milk. They have not studied God's Word. They have not increased their knowledge of the Scriptures. They have not further gained a greater understanding of the doctrines of the Christian faith. And that these people have been sluggards in their devotions, in their church attendance, and perhaps they have not advanced to the point where they are ready for solid food, but yet they are still on the elementary truths, the simple things of the things of God. And so the author, of course, in this interpretation, they would think that the author is rebuking them. Look, you should be teachers. You should have studied further. You should know more. You have not matured. You are still on milk. And I have even heard pastors, or perhaps others, refer to this text and say, my congregation is a congregation of young Christians. And because my congregation is young Christians, they need milk, and I don't preach in-depth sermons because my congregation and the people there would not understand. They are young Christians, they are on milk and not solid food. Now, there are other passages in the Bible where that is certainly true. There's passages where that particular interpretation is taught. I think the Apostle Paul in various places refers to how people need milk and not solid food, and that is a legitimate interpretation. But there's a problem with that interpretation when you look at this particular passage. You remember many times I have asked you to pray for me as I have been studying Hebrews, because Hebrews is one of the most difficult books to understand in the New Testament. You have, as we have been learning about Hebrews, been sometimes confused about what the text taught or what it exactly was saying. Hebrews starts out with some heavy doctrine about the doctrine of Christ and who He is and the incarnation and the Trinity and many, many difficult truths. And so the question is raised, if that interpretation of what they were saying is true, that the Hebrews were on milk and not solid food, why did the author of Hebrews write them a book full of solid food? Isn't that right? Here, these people, he's saying, look, you haven't advanced in your knowledge of the truth and the knowledge of the Scriptures, and then he writes them a book that is not, certainly not milk, but is heavy doctrine and heavy teaching. How then, if this is not the interpretation, are we to understand these verses? And what is the author of Hebrews telling us? What is he telling us about milk? What is he telling us about the solid food? What are we to learn? Well, you remember, last week we looked somewhat at Jesus being the great high priest. And during the time as we have gone through chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5, you have learned that God's people are complainers, haven't you? Here in chapter 3, he talks about the Israelite people. And he talks about how they were in the wilderness and they hardened their hearts and they rebelled against God. They rebelled against him and his teaching and what he was telling them. When they ran into the water, when they ran out of water, they complained against God. When they ran out of bread, they complained against God. They were always complaining against God. Here it was established that God's people are complainers. And we have also established in the book of Hebrews that the Hebrew people who received this book were also complainers. They were enduring persecution. They were insulted for Jesus. They had lost their property. The government had taken it away for Jesus. Now their friends are suffering for Jesus. And they're saying, why do we have to suffer? Maybe we should give up Jesus. Again, as the Old Testament people complained, the Hebrew people complained. And so, you remember last week we said that the people were asking, where is our high priest? Where is the one who can identify with us? Where is the one who can suffer with us? And last week we saw it, didn't we? And what did we learn about Jesus? In verse 7 of chapter 5 it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. You see, Jesus' life was one of suffering. And the author of Hebrews was establishing that if you follow Jesus, that's what your life is going to be. The Israelite people complained because they were suffering. The Hebrew people complained because they were suffering. God's people quite often complain, so says the author of Hebrews, and he drove them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say that, look, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, but the Lord Jesus Christ didn't complain. He had reverent submission. And of course, we said last week that although he was a son in verse 8, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience by his suffering. And by his suffering, he learned what it means to walk in the ways of God. He learned what it means to serve God here on this earth. It is a life of suffering. It is a life of cries, of tears, of to God for all the things you must go through. And so in verse 10, he ended by saying, and he was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And in verse 11, he says, we have much to say about this. So the author is saying, look, there are a lot of things that I need to say about Melchizedek. There are a lot of things that I still have to say. And if you turn to chapter 7, look what it says in chapter 7. Some of you have headings. Maybe I don't know what your heading says, but mine says, Melchizedek the priest. And then the heading in verse 11 is, Jesus like Melchizedek. And then in verse 8, it talks about Jesus, or chapter 8, I'm sorry. It talks about Jesus being the high priest of a new covenant. And in chapter 9, about worship at God's earth in the earthly temple and the blood of Christ. See, all the way from chapter 7, 8, and 9, and 10, it talks about Jesus acting as a high priest in like Melchizedek, a high priest forever. And we're not going to get into depth right now about who Melchizedek was, because that's going to come. But the author is saying, look, we have much to say about this. I have more that I have to say about Melchizedek, more about Christ's sacrifice in heaven, more about how Christ forgives your sins and how he functions in heaven as your great high priest. I have a lot more to say. But before he can say more, look what he does. He has to talk right to the people. But it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Some of you have, you are perhaps hard of hearing. Some of you have because you are dull. In other words, what he is saying, this is hard for you to understand. The doctrines about Melchizedek, what I have to tell you about Christ's sacrifice, what I have to tell you about Christ saving you from your sins and how he functions as your high priest in heaven, I have a lot to say about that. But I can't say it because right now it is hard to explain because you people are hard to understand. Now, why would these people be hard to understand? Why would they be slow to learn? Well, we've already just established that, haven't we? If you go back to chapter 3, and if you look at verse 7, look what it says. Chapter 3, verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. And then if you drop to chapter 3, verse 15, and there it says, and has just been said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And then if you look at chapter 4, and if you look at verse 7, and there it says, therefore God again said a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later He spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Three times in the context of one page, or just a few paragraphs, He has again quoted that verse again and again and again. Today, if you hear His voice, today, if you hear His voice, today, if you hear His voice. It's coming out very clear, isn't it? The people of Hebrews are not hearing it. They are not hearing what God has to say to them. And why are they not hearing what God has to say to them? Well, we already established that too, didn't we? Because God's people like to complain. They complained earlier in chapter 3. We read all about how in the wilderness the people, when God put them through a situation in their life, rather than thanking the Lord, as Jesus did, with reverent submission, these people complained. They said, God, why have you done this to us? The Hebrew people are going through a tough time. The Hebrew people are going through, they've lost their property, now they're facing death, they've been insulted for Christ, and they're hard of hearing. They don't hear what God has to say to them because they're so busy thinking about how miserable it is in this life that they don't hear what God is saying anymore. They can't hear it because they're focused on themselves and what God is putting them through right now. And when God's people do that, when God's people are complaining, God can't tell them about heaven. You see, in chapter 3, when he was talking about the Israelites, and he says, and they've come to the wilderness, and their water has been cut off, and they've lost their bread, and they've come to the edge of the promised land, and they come out, and these people, the two spies give a good report of the land, and the other spies give a bad report of the land. The people are so worried about, oh no, this is what we have to go through right now. They can't even hear about the land that God has for them to live in the future. They don't even want to hear about the promised land. All they can think about is how terrible they have it now, and they point to God and think that He is bad, He's putting them through. And now God wants to tell the Hebrew people about Jesus Christ. You see what he says in verse 11? We have much to say about this. I want to tell you folks about the great sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. I want to tell you how Jesus is in heaven, how he functions as your great high priest right now in heaven, how you can pray to him, how you know that he has forgiven your sins, how he saved you, how he's taken you to heaven already now. But I can't explain it to you right now. And I can't explain it to you right now because you are sluggish. You are slow to learn. Your ears are dull. God cannot tell the people about their salvation in Jesus Christ and the future land that He has for them because they're so busy complaining about how tough they have it here on earth. Wow. We've talked about the Israelite people. We've talked about the Hebrew people. What about us? We like to do that too, don't we? Something happens to us in our life. We get frustrated with the place that God has put us. We get frustrated with things that happen to us. And we complain. And we say, God, why did you have this happen to me? Why doesn't my life ever go the way that I want it to go? Why does it always have to be so frustrating? And you're so busy complaining and focused on how rough you have it and how tough it is right here in this earth that when you go to church, you don't hear about Christ and what He has done. That when you read your Bibles, it's not coming through what Jesus has done, and it's not coming through. The focus is not upon the future and what God has for you in heaven. The focus is on how tough it is right here. Now do you see why? In verse 7 above, in chapter 5, verse 7, the author says what he does. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And you see that last phrase? And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus' life was not any better than the people in the wilderness. Jesus' life was not any better than the people in the Hebrews' day. Jesus' life is not any better than your life. Jesus' life was a life of tears. Jesus' life was a life of loud cries. Jesus had to go to the cross. And as Jesus went to that cross, he submitted to whatever God put him through. He did not complain. He did not complain as the people in the wilderness. He did not complain as the Hebrew people were beginning to complain that this author has to write them this book so they'll read it and they won't fall away from the faith. Jesus didn't complain like us. And you know what it says in verse 8? Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Jesus learned by whatever situation God put him in what it meant to be obedient to God. To be obedient to God is not to complain about what God's put you through. To be obedient to God is to not be one of the Hebrews and go through something and wish that you could just give it all up because God's given you such a tough time. Jesus learned that that's what obedience is. If you follow Christ, obedience is serving Christ. Obedience is going to be suffering. Whatever it is you're going through right now, God is teaching you obedience. But in verse 11 it says, look, we have much to say, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. The people aren't hearing. They cannot hear about heaven because they are complaining, because they do not know reverent submission, because they are not learning obedience as Christ did. And so in verse 12 he goes on. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now look what it says. They ought to be teachers. These people have been Christians for some time. Now, they've been Christians for so long that they have been exposed, if they're going to be teachers, they have definitely been exposed to Christian teaching and to doctrine and to knowing about Christ and what it means. They should be mature Christians. They have had these things. They should be able to teach others some of these things. But it says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. And then he really gets them, doesn't he? You need milk, not solid food. He drives it in. You people should be teaching others. But it's like you people aren't even Christians anymore. You know what it means to love Jesus Christ. You've heard the doctrines. You've believed in Him as your Savior. You've got those down. And now when God is putting you through something, when you have to deal with something in your life that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you unhappy, you're willing to give it all up. You need to know those elementary truths all over again. You need milk, not solid food. You see what it's saying here? The milk is the basics. I mean, it is what it means to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And a lot of people get that down. And the solid food, that's what it means to serve that Savior. See how it reflects into what was said before in 7, 8, and 9? Jesus was the first Christian. Jesus was the first one. And as Christians, we have to follow Jesus. And as Christians, our life is going to be like Jesus. And when Jesus lived on earth, His life was filled with cries and tears, but He submitted to whatever God put Him through. Jesus learned obedience by His suffering. And now these people believe in Jesus. They've said they wanted to serve Jesus. But now they are learning what it means to have solid food. They are learning that to serve Jesus, it is going to be suffering. So he goes on in verse 13. Sort of sums it up. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. I'll read it again. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, they are not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. The people who begin to hear the gospel, the people who know what, who've heard what it means to serve Christ, they're infants. They are still learning what it means to serve Christ. Several years ago, I went evangelism calling in the various homes with a group of people. And we went into a particular home, and we went upstairs. They invited us in, and there was a fella sitting there with a lady. And we shared with her the gospel, and she believed in Jesus Christ was her Savior and said that she wanted to, you know, have this free gift of salvation. And we prayed the sinner's prayer with her, and then we turned to her friend. And of course, we knew that they were living together, even though they weren't married. They shared that with us. And we said, well, what about you? He said, oh, that's okay. I do this every year. Here was a man acquainted with the elementary truth, wasn't he? He'd heard the gospel before. He knew what it meant to believe in Jesus Christ by faith alone and to be forgiven of all of your sins. He was an infant. And being still an infant, as it says in verse 13, not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. That's what the Hebrew people are learning. They are learning that you can get the elementary truths down, but if you're going to serve Jesus, if you're going to move into the solid food, that means you don't sin or live as you once did. People who love Jesus and who serve Jesus become acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. They know what it is to serve Jesus. They're able to give up these things. They're able to give up their sins. They're able to live their life and know that what God has put them through, whatever situation it is done for His righteousness. It goes on to verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Solid food, it says, solid food, those who are mature have constantly trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The mature have lived their life knowing what it means, knowing what it means to give up their sins for Christ. They're able to discern what it means to serve Jesus. They're able to know what sins they must deal with. They're able to know what they must do. These are the people with solid food. And to the Hebrews, what do they learn? Solid food is for people who know that serving Jesus means suffering. In the Old Testament, the people came up and they ran out of water, and immediately they discerned that God was being bad to them. God has brought us all the way out in this wilderness. We have lost our water. God, you brought us out here to die. You're being bad to us. The Hebrew people, they now are serving Jesus. They've lost their property. They've been insulted for Christ. And now they're ready to give up Christ because they're saying, God, you're being bad to us. How often don't we do that? God puts us through something. We have to deal with something, something that doesn't make us happy, something which causes us to be upset, causes us to think that we're the only person in the world who has to deal with us. And our immediate reaction is, God, why did you put us in this situation? God, why is this happening to me? God, why are you being bad to me? But notice what the verse is saying. Not only is it talking about righteousness in the sense that we must know what it means to serve God as far as discerning what is sin, what is not sin, and serving Jesus, but it goes, I believe, a step further. It is saying that when we go through something, when we are going through suffering, we are able to distinguish what is good. God puts us through something for His good. God puts us through something for His glory. God is not being bad to us. We're able to distinguish that, and mature people know it. Some of the most beautiful people that I've met, and I know that you've met, because I'm sure you've met people like that too, are people who have been through some of the worst things that you could possibly imagine. Their spouse has died. They've been critically injured. They're sick and they're not able to walk or move as they once did. Perhaps it's a husband who has to take care of his wife, or a wife that has to take care of her husband because he's so sick and so ill. They go through all of these things and they aren't bitter at God. They know that what they go through is strengthening their life. It's strengthening their spiritual life. Their spiritual life is strong even though their flesh is weak. During this presbytery time, I was able to talk with a man who several years ago lost his wife. And he shared with me how difficult it was for him as he went through that, and what a difficult time, but how God had used it for His kingdom. This same man now has received a call from World Missions to perhaps go to Suriname and teach. Here is something that God put him through. He did not become bitter. He did not become angry. He knew that what God was doing was for His glory and for His kingdom and for the good of His kingdom, not for evil. And now God is opening something else up. God had other plans. That's the way that God deals with His people. And we are slow to learn, aren't we? So often when something happens to us, we're upset. We're wishing that God hadn't put us through it. We wish we didn't have to deal with it. And we're not able to hear. And that's why the author says in verse 11, you are slow to learn. As you go through these things in your life, you're learning how God deals with His people. You see, God isn't dealing with us any different than He dealt with Israel, any different than He dealt with the Hebrews, and any different than He dealt with Jesus Christ, His own Son Himself. If you serve Jesus, you're going to go through suffering. If you serve Jesus, your life isn't going to always go as you wish or as you want. Things are going to happen, and it is you who have to learn. And sometimes when you're hearing, you're not just hearing what you hear on Sunday or what you read in your Bible. You're hearing what God is saying to you by what you go through. Jesus was hearing God when the people were nailing Him to the cross. He didn't hear directly God's voice. He didn't read it in the Bible. He knew by what was happening to Him that that's what God was saying. God was putting Him through that in His life for His glory, for His purposes. God puts us through things for His glory. And we are slow to learn, but the author of Hebrews says, look, I am ready to tell you about heaven. I am ready to tell you about Melchizedek, your Jesus as a form of Melchizedek, your high priest in heaven who forgives your sins. I want to tell you all of these things, but you are so caught up in what you're dealing with that you can't hear it. And so he says in verse 12, and that's the title of my sermon today, you ought to be teachers. You ought to know that by the things you go through in life, the struggles that you have, you're learning. God is shaping you. He's growing you into maturity. You shouldn't be on the elementary truths anymore where you believe in Jesus and you think that everything is going to be better simply because I believe in Jesus and that He's my Savior. You're someone who follows Jesus to the cross. And as you follow Him, you go through struggles. You offer up your prayers and petitions. You go to Him with tears and with crying, knowing that as you follow Him, He is leading you. He is guiding you. He is protecting you. And you're learning obedience by what you suffer. That, my friends, is solid food. And as you talk to people, or you see people who have gone through things, you can see what solid food is. You can see what it means to mature in Christ. People like that do not have their focus anymore on earth and what happens here. People like that know that the flesh is weak. People like that know better than anybody else that their future is in heaven. And when God put the Israelites through something, He was getting them to focus on the future land. When God put the Hebrews through something, He was getting their focus off this life and upon heaven. And when God puts us through something, when God is maturing us, when God is helping us grow, He's giving us the solid food so that we know what it's like in heaven and not here on this earth. Let us come to the Lord's table this morning with happiness, quick wanting to learn. Let us not come complaining or unhappy with what God has done to us in our life or what we go through, but we come knowing our focus is not here, but in heaven. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for your word and what it teaches us. And Lord, for all of us, there are many times where we have had times in our lives, Lord, where we have become frustrated, where we wish that things would have gone differently. But we know, Lord, that you are training us in righteousness. We know, Lord, that you are helping us know what it means to have solid food. For we are beyond the elementary teachings of just knowing Jesus as our Savior, but we are already into the solid food of serving Jesus, of going to the cross, of following him, of offering up our prayers of tears. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as your people to not complain, but to hear you. Help us not to be so focused on what things we go through that we can't hear about heaven and about Jesus and about the future. And Lord, more and more every day, help us not to focus on the things of this life and what we go through and what we must deal with, but to focus on heaven. And help us, most of all, Lord, to be teachers, to grow up in maturity through what we go through our submission to you, through our learning obedience through suffering, so that we can share with what we have learned of what it means to serve Jesus with others around us. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.